Turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. I've been in a series here over the past few weeks on what are we really yoked to in this life, right? And one of the things we began talking about last week is that God's call to you and me, Christ's call to you and me, and whatever God says is just coherent, it's just clear. We begin our message not in this chapter, we're going to see this in a second, but on the screen, if you'll look up at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, the scripture says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, one of the things, just keep it there for just a second. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A rest is what you and I are looking for in this life. We're looking for rest. We're looking for peace. We're looking for this life that God comes to give us. And you can't find rest in anything but God. Now, we're not talking about physical rest. We're talking about soul rest, where our souls are just exhausted sometimes by the junk of the world, by the things of the world, by the things that rile us. And God wants to give you rest from that. But the only way to do that is for you to come to Jesus, who is the rest giver. So he says, come to me. Now I want you to notice, as we saw last week, we began last week, that the scripture message is coherent. The call is always coherent. It's always clear. And it's always, the one he's speaking to is always clear as well. So notice, come to me, very clear, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Last week we saw these four verbs. We saw come to me, and I'll give you rest, right? Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. It's coherent. Now, Jeremiah is speaking to a people. And actually, Jesus is quoting Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Notice what he says. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, here's an Old Testament passage, Jeremiah speaking to the children of Israel, that has such application for you and me today. Because we know, Lord knows, you and I need rest. Amen? You need rest. And I'm not talking about idleness, and I'm not talking about a life of inactivity or laziness. I mean, we still get to move forward, but what we're talking about is the rest of the soul. And he says, listen, it's found in the path of God. It's found in the way of God. And he says, listen, stand by those ways and see and ask for the ancient paths. In other words, folks, this isn't anything new. It's not new. This is something that God has said from the beginning, a very coherent message. Stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But notice what they say. But they said, we will not walk in it. We will not walk in it. And I set watchmen over you saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. It's the way of the world to set up a standard other than God and God's ways and walk that way. Every one of us born into this life, we're born fallen, with a fallen nature, with a propensity of evil. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Okay? And what happens is we get a man-centered religion or a man-centered ways, and those are the paths we want to walk in. It's the paths that our flesh wants to walk in. We're going to see this in just a moment. But listen, there's nothing in the flesh that you and I want to walk according to. Is that right? We don't want to walk according to the flesh. We want to walk according to the Spirit of God. And we have a generation of people, and it's nothing new. I mean, we see it in Jeremiah. We see it today. We see it in every other generation. There are people who stand up and say, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to walk that way. I'm going to walk my own way. Listen, the message is coherent. Find the ancient ways, ask God for them, and walk in those ways. Don't walk in the way of man. Don't walk in the way of humanistic theology or humanistic philosophy. You walk in the God way. You walk in the way of God, the way of the Word of God. And that's how we find, that's how we set up the standards by which we're to live and to walk by. And so Jesus is quoting, hey, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest, because I'm the ancient path. I'm the ancient way. I'm the one you've always been looking for. Follow my ways, not the ways of the world, not the ways of man, not the ways of what you feel, because the enemy can give you a feeling just like that. No, we want to walk the ways of God. This coherent message is specific. It's to a specific people. It's a people who don't have rest. It's a people who are walking their own ways and are exhausted because of their own ways. And then you'll go through Scripture and you'll see so many biddings of Christ, come to me, come, like a come to me message. Like, let me give you a couple of examples. Matthew 4:19 says, follow me. He says it to four specific men, and I will make you fishers of men. A coherent message, follow me, to specific people, and the results are awesome. I will make you fishers of men. Fishermen who fished all their lives in the Sea of Galilee. Jesus will show up and say, hey, if you'll follow me, you won't have to catch fish anymore. You get to catch men. When you look at scriptures like Revelation 3:20, behold, I'm standing at the door and knock. He's saying that to a specific church, and then a specific people, whoever the Spirit of God might speak to through scriptures like this. Behold, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking, and it's the church of Laodicea in Revelation. And he says, and everyone hears his voice and opens the door, that Jesus would come into him and fellowship with him. It's a coherent message. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. Answer the door and let me come into you and let me have life with you. Let me show you what it means to say, when you knock, when God's knocking on the door and you answer it, a coherent message to a specific person, and the results are staggering. The Spirit of the living God, God Himself, comes into you to fellowship with you, and you with him the rest of your life and for all eternity. Isn't that a great result? It's coherent. It's specific. And it has great results, always. It always has great, great results. Here's the beloved chapter, the beloved verse, John 3:16. Hey, God so loved the world, right? He's loved you. And then he's offering that love to you. And listen, if you believe, you'll never perish, but have everlasting life. A coherent message to a specific person or people with great results. Jesus is speaking this, he's speaking to this, and it's nothing new. You see it through all Scripture. Genesis chapter 2, when man falls or man's instructed, hey, there's a tree in the middle of the garden, you're not to eat it. If you eat of it, you will die. Okay? There's a tree of life that God wants you to be a part of. But they choose the tree of death. You look at Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. Turn there for just a moment. I've been looking at that passage for a few weeks and just have been mentioning it. But I want you to turn there, Deuteronomy chapter 30, first chapter 30, verse 11. This is Moses' farewell speech, farewell message, farewell sermon. He's about to die. He's not going to get to go into the promised land. God's going to bring him up on a mountain. He's going to see the promised land. He's going to die. Okay? And so he is giving them all of Deuteronomy. It's the farewell. It's the farewell sermon. And he's coming to the end of it. And notice the coherent message to a specific people with great results. Chapter 15. See, I've set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. In that I'm commanding you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways. Here's the ancient path. Here are the ancient ways to peace. I'm commanding you to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his word or his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you're entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away, and you don't obey, and you're drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you that you shall surely perish. You'll not prolong your days in the land where you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I'm calling heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So you choose life in order that you may live, you and your seed. Watch this, by loving the Lord your God and obeying his voice and holding fast to him. For this is your life, the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. Come to me. Come to the ancient path, the ancient ways. Come to the Word of God. Come be yoked to that and nothing else in this life. Come be yoked to me. Come take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. This is the coherent message of Christ. This is the specific word for you and me, and it has wonderful results. Now, what I'd like to do is as we move into this message, I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And you have in this passage of Scripture the mentioning of a yoke again. The mentioning of a yoke. And so in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and we'll look at verse 1 and then 9, and then we'll look at verses 13 and following. Chapter 5, verse 1. Why is God giving us messages like this? Why is he speaking in this way? Why is he giving us words like this? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's because he wants you to find life. He wants you to have life with him. He wants you to be free. Free in Christ. And it's interesting that when Christ came and died on the cross and purchased his blood for you and me, and he died for you and me, he purchased our salvation, but in that midst is he purchased our freedom. Freedom from darkness. Freedom from slavery. Freedom from the enemy's grip. Freedom from sin. We're going to see in just a moment, freedom from the law itself. It's a great word, freedom. He died to set you free. And that you might walk in that freedom every day of your life. All the days of your life. It's the meaning of Jesus saying, come, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy in life. Let's light the yokes you've been walking in. It's heavy. It's a burden. It's caused you to be weary. It's caused you to be heavy laden. It's nothing. It's done nothing but destroy you. Come take my yoke on you. Come take my yoke. Now notice what he says in this first verse. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Listen, I'm gonna read the next verse, verse 9. Okay, I'm sorry, it's not 9. He goes on and he says, verse 13: For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. Verse 14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will never, ever carry out the desires of the flesh. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're in opposition to one another. So that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will never inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Let me tell you, this call, this message is coherent. Walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. I love the word walk. It's laced in the gospel. It's laced in the letters of Paul. To me, it's like when Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you," and he puts his yoke and your yoke to him. It's because you're going on a journey. You're going to work. Okay, and it's a good work. It's the work of God. It's the work of the kingdom. And whenever you see the word walk, who do you think he's asking you to walk with? Him. It's the same thought. I'm getting yoked to Christ so that I can walk with him all my life. So that I may be free in Christ, because this yoke is a yoke of freedom. And so Paul is saying, listen, you want to be free from the yoke of bondage? Walk by the Spirit. Verse 14. Now, let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a person. Spirit's not a place, not a thing, it's not an it. He's a person. We call him the third person of the Trinity. God the Father on his throne, God the Son, Jesus at the right hand, God the Holy Spirit entering your life, entering this life. It's the Holy Spirit of the living God. The work of the Holy Spirit is to manifest the active presence of God in the world, and especially in the church. So when he says, come to me, walk with me, I'll take my yoke upon you, he's really this invitation to walk with him in all of his ways. The Holy Spirit, alive, well, in you. There's a couple of things about the Spirit of God. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, that we're birthed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives, the Scripture says. We're born the first time in water, the second by the Spirit of God. And that's why the Scripture says you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you've been born again by the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of God is the active work of God in life. It's in your life. He'll say you're birthed by the Spirit, but you're also helped by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said one day, I'll send the helper to you, and he'll be with you forever to help you. Called alongside to help. The Bible speaks of God, of the Holy Spirit, gracing us with gifts for the church, for his glory. When the Spirit of God came into your life and birthed you, when you gave your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit came into your life, and then he's promised to be called alongside to help you. But guess what? He gives you gifts. They're called gifts of the Spirit. Some of them are practical gifts. Others are manifestations of the Spirit of God. And every one of us in here who have ever given our lives to Christ, we have those gifts. We have some of those manifestations. And the question is am I walking according to it? Because you know, it's interesting, when God called us, there was an individual call in my life at 8 years old, but it was a collective call into the body of Christ. All of us together with a body of Christ. Not just a hand, not just a mouth, not just a foot, not just a toe. No, we're one, one in Christ. He is the paraclete. Then, you know, he graces us with gifts for the church in his glory, but he also empowers us to be witnesses. So he says to the disciples, listen, I'm going to give you power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. You'll give witness to me. So the Holy Spirit will come and empower you to give witness. Now, this is not about learning how to take a four spiritual laws track and go put it on somebody's nose and speak to them. It's not just about evangelism. It's about a lifestyle of giving witness to Christ. Because I know, in my life, I've seen it. I've seen people who have the best soul winners and can be the worst at home. You know that? You can be a great soul winner and be horrible at home. Or when nobody else is looking. You can be a good pastor, a good Sunday school teacher, a good staff person. You could be all those things and still be rotten at home.
No, we give witness because God is changing us. He's transforming us. And he's empowering us to give witness and to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk by the Spirit. The Spirit of God prays for you and works the will of God out in your life. Romans chapter 8, 18 through 20. And so what he says is, listen, this call is clear. To be yoked to Jesus is really to be yoked to his Spirit, the Spirit that's living in your life. And so when he says, walk by the Spirit, he is saying that to a specific people. And guess who the specific people are? It's you and me. This word comes to life that says, walk by the Spirit of God. And when you walk by the Spirit of God, it has great results. Number one, there's a couple of things is that, well, I think about this in this message is the call is coherent, the call is clear. He's speaking to a people that want to subject themselves again to the yoke of slavery. That's why we go back to verse 1. He says, hey, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not subject again to a yoke of slavery. Now, really important here. When Paul comes to Christ, and then he is discipled, and then he starts on his journeys, he goes to speak of a message of grace, not of law. Very important. Not of law. And so, especially Jewish folks who've been under the law all their lives, who've come to Christ, they have a tendency to want to subject themselves back to the law. Now, let me just tell you, we are free. This yoke of slavery, when God took the yoke off, it was a yoke. I just want to call it the yoke of earning it. The yoke of earning it. I just got to earn this. I just got to earn God's grace. Just got to earn God's peace. Just got to earn it, earn it, earn it, earn it. And Paul's got this message of grace and of freedom. And yet there's these people called the Judaizers, and they're coming behind him and saying, hey, you gotta be circumcised. You gotta follow the ceremonial law. You gotta be Jewish. And he's saying, listen, what he'll go on and talk about it. He says, who's bewitched you? Who's bewitched you? We no longer subject ourselves to the do's and don'ts. We subject ourselves to the Spirit of God who leads us in freedom from that. Now, let me say this. I spoke a little bit of this at prison Wednesday night. You know, I don't mind preaching the law because the law is good for only two things. The law is good to expose your sin. You read the law, it exposes your sin, exposes who you are and who you're not, especially who you're not, where you fall short, where you blow it, where you sin. But the law also does a second thing. It leads us to Jesus. It leads us, it's a teacher that leads us to Jesus. The law and doing it cannot and will not ever, ever save you. It will never do that. It will never bring freedom. What brings freedom is walk by the Spirit. And don't be subject to the yoke of slavery again. So sometimes, yeah, I was reading the Ten Commandments this week. And we're going to see something in just a moment about idolatry. But the commandments, what they do is they expose who we are and who we're not. And then it leads us to Jesus. Paul calls it the child tutor or the child teacher. It teaches you to look for the one who takes the yoke off. I might have said this here because I've been here 30-something years, okay? And I've known about this for 30-something years, so I might have said it before, especially those who have been a while. But when I went to seminary up at Fort Worth, there was a, I'll just tell you this. In seminary, nobody walked on the grass. Nobody walked on the grass. And it was really interesting because there's a story behind nobody walking on the grass. Before I got there, there were signs everywhere that said, don't walk on the grass. And everybody walked on the grass. Listen, hear what I say. The signs were everywhere. Keep off the grass. But seminary students, as godly as they are walking on the grass. So do you know what they do? They pull the signs up and everybody stops walking on the grass. Isn't that interesting? You know, that's what happens to us. If I move into a place that I'm just banging myself in the head, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, what happens? I find myself doing it. Paul says that. I find myself doing it. So what I want to do is I want to get my eyes off the law that exposed my sin, that leads me to Christ that says, get your eyes off the law and get them on the Spirit of God. And walk after him. We get subject to this yoke of slavery of the law that cannot save us. But we are to walk by the Spirit of the living God. And so that's the first thought, enslaved to earning it, yoked to the law. But the second one is enslaved to the power of sin. Enslaved to the power of sin. We see this often in people's lives. And so what he does is he says, listen, verse 13, hey, I'm writing this to you guys. You guys want to be subject to the yoke of slavery. You're going back to the law. And now what's happening is that you're full of these deeds and these deeds of the flesh. And so you're enslaved to earning it and you're a slave to the power of sin. Let me just say this. It's yoked. I just want to tell you what I believe it is. It's being yoked to the things of the flesh. It's what we do when we think we're going to find rest in the things of the world, the things people run to instead of Jesus. And I want you to notice, he says, listen, if you'll walk by the Spirit, you'll never, ever carry out the desire of the flesh. And you know what he does? He names these flesh. He names sexual sins. He names witchcraft. He deals with drunkenness or addictions. He deals with envying or disputes and dissensions and stuff that comes anger. I mean, he mentions these things and he says, listen, if you'll walk by the Spirit, if you'll walk by my yoke, you will not fulfill these things. That's a certainty. It's a certainty. You want to be free? You want to be free from the bondage of sin? You want to be free from anger? Free from this the junk of this world? Listen, walk by the Spirit. And you'll never, ever, that's what the word is. It's a double negative. It'll never happen as long as you're walking by the Spirit, fulfill the deeds of the flesh. But you know, I think about this. I think, oh, the things we want to be yoked to. The things we want to be yoked to. You know, I want to do this, and this isn't in your notes. This is something that I just stumbled upon or just began to think about last night. Oh, the things that we want to yoke ourselves to. I want you to look at just one of these, or you might look at two. Look at verse 20. One of the deeds of the flesh is idolatry. Idolatry. Literally, idolatry means to create an idol or an image of another god and worshiping it. It's the worship of false gods by the means of idols. And you know, it's like what folks would do is they would worship this god, and they can't see the god, so that what they would do is they would get a piece of wood or a piece of stone and carve it out and put it somewhere and say, that's our god. It's idolatry. And you might say, man, I don't have any of those around. I don't have anything on my mantle. I don't have anything on my windowsill. I don't have any amulet around my neck, right? But what the Bible does, when you look about the history of idolatry, they begin to talk about idolatry as the worship of other gods. I think a good definition of idolatry, something that I heard a long time ago that I just always sticks with me, it's when you put your trust in something or someone else to fulfill what only God can fulfill. That's what an idol is. Listen, when you trust something other than God to fulfill what only God can fulfill, we have an idol. It's idolatry. And I think it's interesting because when you look at Scripture, it's a very important thing because Colossians 3:5 says, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. And then he says this, which amounts to idolatry. Now, I just think that idolatry is the cardinal sin of the day. Jesus was tempted to bow down to Satan when Satan said, if you'll bow down to me and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, past, present, and future. You remember that? It's idolatry. He's committing to love something more than love God, to submit something to something else other than submitting to God. And I want to ask the question, what are you submitting to today? What are you being yoked to? You're yoked to God? Are you fallen by the Spirit? Or is there this thing called idolatry that just continues to creep up in your life? And you know, there's a subtlety to it. There is. But then there's also something that's very glaring about it. To be yoked to Jesus is to no longer to be yoked to the idols of the day. Well, what are the idols of the day? Well, just go to Facebook or social media. You can figure out what the gods this world is. Think about that for a minute. I'm not saying that because you post something about your family's an idol. I'm not saying that. I post. But man, you can really see what's on everybody's heart through social media. Are y'all listening? Amen? Is that right? We can. We can see what's on our heart. We can see it. And so just you just go that, you could find a bunch of idols. You can. And some of the things that we put in as idolatry are not evil within itself. Your family is not evil. It's a gift from God. Money is a gift from God. You work for it, you work hard for it. It's a gift of God, but it can become an idol. Can it not become an idol? It can become an idol. You don't want to be yoked to that. Want to have the proper relationship with these things. So here's what I think about. Here's some of the idols of the day. Money, relationships, spouses, marriage, jobs we love and jobs we hate. The government. And it goes both ways. You can be dependent on the government to fulfill what only God can fulfill, but you can also be so removed that you don't give a care for those in need. It goes both ways. Your political persuasion, your sinful desires of lust, greed, anger. This thought that you can be your own God. You know, that's what the enemy said to Adam and Eve. Hey, you don't need God. You can know the difference between good and evil all on your own. You can be your own God. You can do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it. It's worshiping the creature rather than the creator. And what I have found is it's usually the creature is me, the biggest idol. Us, yourself. Can you say selfie with me? Can you say selfie with me? Have you ever looked at a picture of a group of you? Who's the first person you look for? Yourself. Yeah. Yourself. Yeah. I find that the biggest idol of my life is Mike Fritcher. I think that's why Paul said he died daily. He died daily. Because of this struggle, this ongoing struggle of idolatry. And you know, I think about that in our lives, and I ask the question again, do you want to be yoked to this? You know, in Isaiah 40:19, you don't need to turn there, but what happens is he talks about idols and idolatry and idol makers. They say, this guy, what you do is you get this block of wood and you might not have the skill, so what you do is you get somebody else who has the skill and they carve out the idol. And then they bring it to you. They bring you the idol. Okay, your God. That guy's carrying your God on his shoulder. And then you set it up and you make a monument to it. and you bow down to a piece of wood that's been carved into what you say is your God. And then he says, and then you want to talk to it, and you want to speak to it. But it can't hear you. It's got eyes, it can't see. It's got ears, it can't hear. It can't touch you. It's inanimate. It's nothing. There's no life in it. And this is what we find about idols. We wake up one day and we find out there's no life in it. There's only life in God. There's only life in Christ. Therefore, what do I want to do? I want to be yoked to Jesus. And I want to walk by the Spirit of the living God. Because He's my God. He's my King. He's my Lord. When you're yoked to Jesus, you're yoked to His Spirit. And when you walk by the Spirit, you'll never ever carry out the deeds of the flesh. You know, I love Isaiah 9. It's a great Christmas message about Jesus coming. One of the things he says about the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the eternal Father, the Prince of Peace, is that Jesus comes to break the yoke of your burden. Some of you are burdened under the law, and some of you are burdened under idolatry or any of these other things in this life. And I want to tell you that Jesus comes to break it and set you free. He comes to break it and set you free. So that when you walk by the Spirit, then the Bible says in verse 22 that this is what comes out of your life. Love. God love. Not man love. God love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. And self-control. Instead of the deeds of the flesh and being yoked to those, you're yoked to the Spirit, and all these great things come out of your life. And let me just say this, they just come out. You don't have to force it out. You know, what does a good tree do? A good tree just bears fruit. It just comes out. There's no straining. There's no, oh, I just got to have love. I just got to have joy. I just got to make it today. I just got to be patient. And what happens is we strain and strain. And then all of a sudden, you realize that that's not how we find fruit. We walk by the Spirit, enslaved to Him, which is a good enslavement. Because enslavement to Christ is the freedom of God in Christ Jesus. And I want to know, are you free today? Are you free in Christ? I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that right now? I find when I walk by the Spirit that not only do I not fulfill the deeds of the flesh, but I find what I've always been looking for. I've always been looking for a life of love, of joy, of peace. I hate it when I'm impatient. I hate it when I walk in deeds of unkindness. I hate it when I don't practice self-control. I don't like being yoked to that. But to be yoked by the Spirit and to walk the yoke, to put Jesus' yoke upon you and to be yoked to the Spirit of God and to walk by the Spirit, I find out that the eternity in my heart is producing fruit. There's a great scripture. It's Ecclesiastes 3:11. It says, He has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has also planted eternity in the human heart, without which man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. He's put eternity in your heart. You know that there's something missing. It's eternity, but it's in your heart. And you know you're looking for that something. And when you find Jesus and you're yoked to Jesus and you walk by the Spirit, eternity blooms. Eternity becomes a fruitful tree. And I want to know, church. I want to ask, are you subjecting yourself again to a yoke of slavery? Or are you choosing to walk by the Spirit, yoked to Him? And there's just two things that I would say. Is, will you ask God for the Spirit of God? Would you ask God, God, I need your Spirit today. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you come and move in my life? Oh, I need you today. Oh, Jesus, come and help me. Oh, Jesus, come and move in me. And then once the Spirit reveals Himself to you in that moment, just live by it. Just live by it. I ask for the Spirit. I live by the Spirit. Lord, I just want to pray in your name that we'd not be yoked again to a yoke of slavery. But that, Father, we'd be yoked to the Spirit of God. And I ask, God, that you would be honored and glorified in lives that walk by the Spirit of God. The Spirit who's birthed us, the Spirit who helps us, the Spirit who's given us gifts, the Spirit who's empowered us, the Spirit of God who prays for us according to the will of God. And I want to thank you for how you're going to work and how you're going to move. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I read a story about the great composer Bach. And whenever he started composing, he put on the top of the page initials JJ. Okay. And what that meant in Latin was, it was, if I get this right now, Jesu Javi, Jesus help me. Okay. Every work. If you look at his notes, every work has Jesus help me. JJ. And then when he finishes, the initials are SMG. I think that's right. No, SD. I'm sorry. It means for the glory of God. Okay. Yeah. SDG. Sole Deo Gloria. For the glory of God. Jesus help me come to the end of the work for the glory of God. Okay. Isn't that great? That's great. So listen, when I'm yoked to Jesus, why can't I just get up and say, JJ, Jesus, help me. And then I come to the end of the day because I've been yoked to Him and I've walked by the Spirit. I can say, for the glory of God, for the glory of God, Jesus, help me for the glory of God. And it doesn't have to be a warning. It could be an appointment that you're going to. It might be something that you're facing. Jesus, help me. This is who the Spirit of God is. That's the Paraclete who's called alongside to help you. For the glory of God. For the glory of God. Let's stand together, will you? Raise a hand. Yeah. Okay. Would you receive this blessing today? I know that it's becoming kind of familiar for us, but I can't find a better one. Can't find a better one. The Lord bless you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance towards you and give you peace right now and forever. This week, this day, this month, this year, the greatest year for you of peace. May He guard your going in and your coming out. May God be glorified in you. May Jesus help you for the glory of God. Amen and amen. All right.